Happy New Year, Ben.
Yeah. Happy New Year to you too, Claire.
Thanks.
Oh. What's that stain?
Well, I don't think it's Horlicks.
Did I do that?
With a little bit of help from me. Don't you remember?
Yeah.
So, what's your verdict?
Well...
Thanks, Ben. I've got to get home. My folks will be going crazy. What about yours?
I told them I'd be staying over.
My car's outside. Do you want a lift?
No, thanks, Claire. I can walk from here.
Suit yourself. Oh, well. So long, Tiger. I never did it in a wardrobe before.
Did we actually do it?
Don't worry. You didn't get to know me in the biblical sense. It was just a bit of fun. You're quite a performer, though. 30 or 40 seconds, I reckon. Fastest shot in the West.
The Rotters Club by Jonathan Coe, adapted by Simon Littlefield. Episode 4, Paradise Place.
January 19th, 1978. The following missive, intended only for the eyes of R.J. Culpepper, has made its way by a circuitous means to the Billboard. We publish it below as a fascinating insight into the thought processes of some of King William's better-known pupils.
Dear Ronald, I hope you've recovered by now from the shock of learning that you have not been made a prefect. To promote a mediocrity like Richard simply because of the colour of his skin is little short of pathetic. In one respect, however, Anderton and his Trotskyist hacks have got it right. The prefect is nothing more than the chief master's lackey. You must remember that you hold a far more important position as secretary of the closed circle. The circle is accountable to no one but itself. In essence, it is anti-democratic, and that is its strength. The circle does not have to listen to the voice of the rabble. The tasks facing the school, it now seems to me, are as follows. 1. Modernisation. We need better science labs, sports facilities and music school. All of this costs money. And money, of course, means fees from parents. Not more handouts from the Callaghan government. 2. Rationalise. There are simply too many pupils at the moment, and some of them are frankly not up to scratch. The entrance requirements must become more rigorous. 3. Aggrandise. King William suffers the disadvantage of being located in Birmingham. More effort must therefore be devoted to not just maintaining, but publicising our sporting and academic excellence. In conclusion, it has been an honour to be chosen as the circle's youngest ever member, and a privilege to watch the society begin to transform itself under your guidance. Do not lose momentum merely as a result of this temporary and insignificant setback. The closed circle, and by implication the whole of King William's, still looks to you for leadership. With sincere good wishes, Paul.
Hello?
It's me, Benjamin.
Hello, Tiger. To what do I owe this pleasure?
Well, I don't know. It just occurred to me that maybe we've started something and it would be good to see where it went.
What does that mean exactly? Are you asking me out, Ben?
Well, yeah.
Do you think that's such a good idea?
Well, yeah, of course. Isn't it?
Look, all that happened is we both got blind drunk and had a bit of a grope. You don't have to take me for candlelit dinners.
No, Claire, I really think it's important that we see each other again.
Okay, if you say so. What did you have in mind?
There's a season of early French surrealist shorts at the cinema in Cannon Hill Park at the moment. They're showing some rarely seen works by René Clair and Man Ray.
How about a drink down the grapevine?
Hey, Kojak. Who doesn't love your baby?
Knock it off, Doug.
What on earth are you doing?
Can you give me a hand?
Come on.
Thanks.
Is that a reef knot? How'd you get stuck in there anyway?
Litter duty.
Don't you think you're taking your new responsibilities a bit too far?
It's Form 1B. I'll get them out here, line them up, tell them to split into groups of five, and they charge me and dump me in the bin. I have no natural authority, Doug. None at all.
I know. But you didn't have to become a member of the ruling classes.
You really are a prize pranit, Ben. Anyone could see that you weren't cut out to be a member of the special branch.
Hey, did you know that I've got a girlfriend now?
Yes. Claire Newman. Pulled you off from her parents' wardrobe. Every time Dad goes to get himself a new pair of socks, I get these incredible mental images.
Well, that was just a one-off. We haven't done anything since.
But you've been seeing her, haven't you?
You don't mind, do you, Doug?
Mind? Why should I? That was over ages ago.
Really? Because what happened in that wardrobe... I know, so it's funny. But what happened that night was important to me. To both of us. It was the beginning of something very special.
Oh, grow up, Ben. This isn't some Jane Austen novel we're talking about here.
You must have been reading some very different Jane Austen novels to me.
You know what I mean. You know I told you I shagged that secretary in London?
With four Fs.
Fionn, yes. We did things you wouldn't believe were possible. What we did makes your 30 seconds with Claire seem like nothing.
It was 40 seconds, actually.
Whatever it was. The point is that I never saw this girl again. We didn't bother to swap phone numbers or anything. It was just one night of fantastic sex and then goodbye.
Well, that's a beautiful story, Doug. Very touching little anecdote. Real Romeo and Juliet stuff. A Troilus and Cressida for the 1970s. But some of us just have a different approach to these things.
All right, then. I'll tell you something else, and this is really important. You're 17 years old and you're going to meet hundreds more women in the next few years. If you're going to go all soppy over someone from this crap hole of a city, you might as well choose the right person. And there are only two girls around here who are worth anything.
Oh, yeah? And who might they be?
Claire.
I rest my case.
Who is completely wrong for you.
Why?
Because you don't love her.
Actually.
And Cicely, who you do. Now, don't get me wrong, I think Claire's fabulous. Always have done. But we tried going out and it didn't work, so there you are. It's just not meant to happen. As for Cicely, she isn't my type, to be honest, but...
Yeah?
Well, she's your type, isn't she? She's perfect for you. You're perfect for each other. God, Benjamin, you're the only person who's ever been able to talk any sense into that woman. She hangs off your every word. And if there were ever two people who were made to be with each other, then it's you and Cicely.
It's Claire's birthday tomorrow. I can't break up with her on her birthday.
You can break up with her any time. What did you get her?
It's a new release on Eno's obscure label.
Don't tell me what it is. She'll hate it. I don't need to know. I just know she'll hate it.
Bill?
Sam?
Oh, I don't know what to say.
I'd like you to be lost for words.
Well, not these days.
Still reading those books of Ben's?
Boy, my own now. Proper little autodidact.
Yeah, well... Auto's the word.
I'm sorry, Bill. I really am. Ineffably sorry.
Edwards is about to speak. You're not staying for the announcement?
I have to speak too. I have to make an important phone call.
Gentlemen, thank you. I won't beat around the bush. The situation facing British Leyland Longbridge is a critical one, and I hope you'll listen to these proposals and consider them seriously.
You are the very personification of narcissistic obliquity. Your effrontery and culpability are beyond the terminus of legitimate forbearance. Your contrivance was simply to mesmerise her with your meticulosity and dilettantism. You are a syphilitic, locodermatous, febrile pyretic and fistulum erasmus.
Market share, contingency, lack of production output, efficient management... Corporate plan, executive meetings, overcapacity, demanning.
The time has come when we simply have to face up to the situation. Difficult and no doubt unpopular choices will have to be made.
Peccable, scrofulous, obscurantist charlatanism, unctuosity, pinguescence, persiflage, spavined, soporate, imporbity, fustigate, compurgation, scorbutic, malignancy.
Therefore, I will, regrettably, be instigating a painful but necessary process of de-manning.
I knew it.
Somewhere in the region of 12,500 jobs.
Your insouciant ruttishness is tantamount to nymphomania. You are a temerarious poltroon, a pixelated dunderhead, and a milksop of unmitigated flagitiousness.
Now, you'll have a few minutes to discuss the proposals on the table and present any counter-arguments you may have before the vote of confidence in the management. Thank you.
Agapistic libertine. Nefarious subterfuge. Abominable philanderer. Invidious entanglement. Nyctalopic cuckold.
Yes?
Is that Mr. Plum?
It is.
This is Sam Trotter here. Barbara's husband. Sanctimonious, attitudinizer, deviationist, legerdemain, shenanigans.
Do you have something to say to me? Is it your intention that we should be the participants in some sort of colloquy?
£715 to £5.
Come on, mate, I'll buy you a drink.
Don't you want to go and join the rest of the management?
Raspberries to them. Come on, you look done in.
Hello, Tiger.
Hello.
Careful. You don't want to be expelled on the last day for indecent behaviour.
No, you're right.
I was joking, Casanova. Here, sign this.
What is it?
Sisters get well card.
Oh, is she still ill?
Well, she has got glandular fever.
Yeah. But this is only a few miles from where my family go on holiday every year.
Really? My uncle lives there too.
How long will she be staying in Plascadlan?
She could be there all summer. She could be back next week. You just don't know with the kissing disease.
No.
Steve! Wait!
Steve?
What's going on, Doug?
Steve's going to the prefect's common room.
So?
Steve.
You okay, Steve?
What do you think?
I'm sure you did much better than you think.
How could I have done? I fell asleep during my physics paper.
You fell asleep?
I must have done. I'm telling you, I looked at the clock and it was 2:15. And the next time I looked, it was 3:50. And I hadn't written a bloody thing, Ben. I hadn't written a thing.
Were you tired?
Of course I wasn't bloody tired. I was on peak form, for God's sake. I've been working up to it for weeks. Somebody did something to me that day.
Did something?
They messed with my brain. Somebody drugged me.
Steve, now you're upset.
Steve! Culpepper, have you actually been signed in?
Oh, come on, Richard. Don't be such an arsehole. It's the last day of term.
I'm not being an arsehole. This room is for prefects only, and I'm asking you if you've been signed in.
Of course I haven't. And neither of any of these people.
Then get out!
Okay, I'm sure if
we... Keep out of this, Anderton! I'm telling you, as a prefect, to get out of this room now!
And what are you going to do if I don't? Put me in detention?
You can go in the first detention of next term.
There's one flaw in that proposal. Next term is the Oxbridge term. And I will be here because I'll be taking the entrance exam. But you won't, because your grades aren't going to be good enough.
What do you know about it, Culpepper?
Sort of, Claire.
Watch it.
She's right. What do you know about it?
Look, do you mind if we just get back to our game, Rustus?
Ow!
Jesus Christ, Steve!
It still has a band of cloud and rain, though.
Rain, and lots of it. Thunderstorms, they're issuing a gale warning. That's enough of that.
What's up, Bent? Missing Claire.
Oh, Lois.
I thought you were going to finish with Claire 6 months ago.
You are getting better, aren't you, Lois?
We'll see. What was that?
It's all right, Lois. Don't worry. It's just Dad.
What is Leonard Sachs up to out there?
You know very well your father's gone down to the cesspit.
What, the crap hole, Mother? The log basket? The cave?
Paul! Perhaps you should follow your father's example in
what?
Be more of a wordsmith.
Wordsmith? Oh, I thought you meant let my wife...
Paul, have you been unfaithful?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm sure I saw you doing it with your left hand this morning.
Oh, come on! I don't know what you find so amusing. Yo didn't even want to come on this holiday and all you've done is sulk because you didn't get a letter from your precious Doug. I told you he'd drop you like a stone as soon as he moved to London. You're kidding yourself if you think any of your friends are going to keep in touch.
And as for Sicily...
Oh, Sam.
Ah, the Turdsmith returns.
This is supposed to be a sodding holiday. People are supposed to sodding relax on holiday. They're supposed to lie in the sodding sunshine and drink sodding cocktails. And here I am, soaked to the sodding skin and covered in sodding... sodding... effluent.
Are you sure you want to go back tonight, Ben?
Yeah, it's fine. I want to get my results tomorrow.
It's not me, is it?
No, Dad.
I've had a shower.
I can walk from here.
Good luck, son.
I know you'll pass with flying colours.
See ya.
Hello. Benjamin.
Hello.
You, came to find me.
He looks that way.
Yes. I knew that you would. Well, what I meant is, I knew that if anybody came, it would be you. Here.
This is like heaven. It's a bit milky.
Sorry. Well, Glyn made it.
Glyn?
My uncle, he, found you. Last night.
How in hell did he find me?
Oh, he heard someone cursing God in English.
I was lost in English. Well, do you want to hear what's been going on at school?
Benjamin, it's wonderful to see you. You've no idea.
Have you been very ill?
Oh, well, I don't know what happened, but... first, you better get dressed. Glyn wants to take us out for lunch.
Oh, okay.
And don't worry about him, he's just not very fond of, well, the English.
Right.
And best not to mention your parents' caravan.
And Culpepper's blood ebbed across the table.
Richards was expelled.
Oh, poor Steve.
Cicely tells me that you're going to be a writer.
Well, I hope so. Or a composer, maybe.
Really? You have many strings to your bow. Well then, Englishman, what do you think of this land?
Don't call him Englishman. It sounds incredibly rude.
You are English, aren't you?
Of course.
Well then, that's what I'll call you. You're not ashamed to be called an Englishman, I suppose.
Should I be?
Personally, I don't like the English. The Welsh have hated the English for as long as anyone can remember. And they'll carry on hating them until the English leave them alone and stop interfering in their affairs. In the 13th century, Edward I and his armies invaded Wales and slaughtered the women and children, and laws were passed which banned Welsh people from holding positions of authority. Welsh law was suppressed, and Welshmen were continually sent off to the killing fields of France to be butchered in wars which had nothing to do with them. And all through this terrible time, the bardic tradition managed to keep the language alive, the wonderful Welsh language, which is the oldest language in these islands. Did you even know that? But even this, even our very own language, our very identity, was taken away from us in 1536 by Thomas Cromwell and his so-called Act of So-Called Union, which imposed the pale, sickly, enfeebled English language on us, and made it a crime even to conduct our affairs in our own language, for pity's sake. Does it surprise you that the Welsh despise you? Do you think the native Indians of America and the Maoris of New Zealand and the Aborigines of Australia and Tasmania will ever forgive you for all but exterminating them with murder and famine and disease? Does it surprise you that any Irishman of spirit considers himself to be at war with the English? You don't fool the world, you know, not any more with your, oh, so charming diffidence and politeness and English irony and English self-deprecation. You ask any free-thinking Welshman or Scotsman or Irishman what he thinks of the English, and you will get the same answer. You are a cruel and bloody and greedy and acquisitive people, a nation of butchers and vagabonds. Butchers and vagabonds, I tell you. So what do you say to that, Syson?
It's a point of view. Was he still annoyed?
He likes to listen to Irish rebel songs as he sculpts, but he's a sweetie, really.
The IRA hurt my sister.
It's been a long time, hasn't it? Nearly 4 years.
Yeah. Nearly the same time that I recorded this. I wrote this for you. Did I ever tell you that?
No.
And I thought you might like to hear it.
Yeah, of course I'd love to.
You inspired me.
I love it, Ben. Oh, you're so clever.
I wanted to make it up to you.
For what?
My review. It was so hurtful, so unkind.
Not at all. Look, I've told you this before. It was the best thing anyone could have ever done for me. I was never any good at acting. I was just doing it because my mother wanted me to. And because it fitted in with some stupid self-image I had, and you cured me of that. That's what it was, literally a cure. And I don't believe you did it out of malice. You were already writing music out of love for me. I know that now, and I think that's why you wrote the review as well.
Out of love?
Yes, I think so. To show me to myself. That's what love is, if you like. It's a condition in which people help each other to see the truth about themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I love this place. It feels very much bound up with my future. My story will end here. Sorry, that sounds so portentous.
Where on earth will my story end? Oh, what was that?
Oh, I think it's an F minor ninth.
No, I meant that noise in the background.
Noise?
It sounded like a cat.
Yeah, it was a cat. Acorn.
Look, Ben, I've made a lot of stupid mistakes with men in the past. You're not a mistake. You're the first one. You're the first and the last and the only. What's happening between us here? It's just the beginning, don't you see? We're going to have fabulous times together, you and me. Fabulous, unbelievable times. God, we are so lucky, so very, very lucky to have found each other. We're so young, Ben. We're so young and already we know.
Yeah, we do know, don't we?
We've started something now, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Cariad.
The bird sings with its fingers, une fois.
Very droll. Take it you didn't enjoy Orphée.
No, I thought it was awful. I enjoyed it about as much as that Brian Earache record you gave me for my birthday.
Listen, Claire, I think we should call it a day. Two of us.
Yes, of course we should.
I just think we've reached the end of the road.
Come off it, Ben. We never even found the road, did we? I'm boring you silly.
Oh, no, you aren't.
Be honest with me, Benjamin. We owe each other that, at least.
but you might have sounded a bit upset.
With university to look forward to. According to the prospectus, there are 126 rooms in my halls of residence, and every one of them's got its own wardrobe. Yeah, sure, I'm upset. But don't look so tragic about it. Don't worry, Tiger. You'll find somebody else.
I already have, as a matter of fact.
Oh? Anyone I know?
Well, yeah, actually. It's Cicely.
Not her, not you and Cicely, for goodness sake.
Well, why ever not?
Hasn't anyone warned you about Cicely? Haven't you noticed what she does to people? You know, the way she chews them up and spits them out?
You don't know her. You don't know her the way I do.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
There you go, Dad.
Salutations, son.
I always knew you'd be a late bloomer.
You what?
Reading Ulysses now, I see.
Ah, oh, bloomer. Very good.
Scratching?
Ooh. Yes. I said yes. I will. Yes.
Touché. So, last Labour pint, do you reckon?
Rubbish.
You've changed.
So have you. Look at you and your banking app array. That'll go down well at Oxford.
So would you these days.
Any news from Cicely?
She's still in Manhattan.
Lovely girl, Cicely. Lovely.
Cheers.
Cheers, son. So, how does it feel?
What?
Old enough to vote now, Ben?
Yeah, I suppose I should.
Yes, you should. But it's not going to make any difference.
No?
I'm not one for making predictions.
Oh, here we go.
But this is a special day, and today I'm going to make two.
Oh, yeah?
Number one. You and Cicely will have a long and happy life together. Number two, that woman will never be Prime Minister of this country.
Where there is discord, may we bring harmony. Where there is error, may we bring truth. Where there is doubt, may we bring faith.
The Rotters Club starred James Bradshaw, Stacey Rocker and Frank Skinner. With Sam Bradley, Emily Corrie, Emma Cunniff, Hayden Gwynn, Adam Paul Harvey, Martin Hyder, Philip Maddock, Alexander Perkins, Christopher Simpson, David Tennant, and David Troughton. Seascape number 4 was composed and performed by Louis Philippe. The Rotters Club was written by Jonathan Coe and adapted for radio by Simon Littlefield. The producer was Lucy Armitage.